Thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. Our special thanks to Bud Hopkins for joining us for the first 2 hours of the program. Now moving on, was there an ancient civilization, a bicoastal civilization on the North American continent dating between 3,500 and 8,500 years ago? Our next guest, John Jensen, an amateur archaeologist, thinks he's uncovered photographic evidence of a variety of clearly visible structures centered on waterways that can be seen at this new website, ancientcanalbuilders.com. He's not quite sure what to make of all of them. I'm not quite sure what to make of all of them, but he'll be joining us in just a moment, and you can help us make up our minds what they might represent. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. John Jensen is a former industrial startup and training expert who's authored more than 200 technical books and training programs. He has a lifelong interest in the study of prehistoric civilizations, and he came across something that led to the creation of a website, ancientcanalbuilders.com. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, George. Good morning.
Let's just start. When did this jump out at you? How were you just cruising around on the internet and saw these images?
I was doing some research on some Civil War forts on the Mississippi River, and as I zoomed down in Google Earth looking at that particular location, I saw a paddlehead canal beside the fort that looked eroded, for lack of a better word. And as I panned back out, I saw more on the other side of the Mississippi, and I started moving south on Google Earth and recognizing that I was looking at something quite strange. The canals were eroding and degrading underwater as I moved south, and from there it just continued. I kept looking, and everywhere I looked, there were more and more of these canals that were what appeared to be old, in the sense that part of them would be underwater. And then they would come up back on land again at some distance in a straight line. And I went, there's something strange about all of this. I kept looking at it. This is about four months ago that I formalized it into a concept that I was looking at something more than just current.
Well, something more recent. Why do you think it? How do you come up with the idea that it's 3,500 to 8,500 years ago, as opposed to something that's 200 years old?
After a lot of research and looking at many sites, in a lot of the areas across both the Atlantic coast and the Gulf Coast, have remnants that are underwater, completely underwater. In some of those areas have NOAA charts that you can look at and get the depth from them. In looking at those, we started seeing a pattern of two different depth levels. The predominant amount is from 5 to 8 feet underwater of the ones that are under the water table that can be seen from Google Earth. And the other is from 15 to 25 feet, less clear, but deeper underwater. The predominant amount of them is from 5 to 8 feet. In looking at doing research where a water table rise since the Ice Age, looking at that data, it gives us information that says a 5 to 8 foot water raise is in the sea level is something around 3,500 years old. So that's what I based it on. It's imprecise. It's unscientific. It's just a general rule of thumb based on the water raise over those areas. We've got a bay in the Delaware Bay called Stimson Island. It's about a mile long, about three-quarters of a mile wide. You can clearly, on Google Earth, see the canals running down in and under that bay. We haven't been there to measure it yet, but looking at the NOAA charts, we think it's about 8 to 10 foot deep on average, and it's very clear evidence that those canals were built before the water table rose up over them. And it's an assumption, it's imprecise, but it's a starting point.
Well, that's what I was kind of impressed by some of the material you sent me, is that you're not claiming this is Atlantis or Lemuria. You're not claiming to know exactly the ultimate answers to this. You just saw something interesting, and you're asking questions about it.
Exactly. One of the first things that I decided when I started seeing this, before I ever notified anyone that or started asking any other professional opinions, is I had made a determination on my own in looking at it that if it were anything as a phenomena or of major interest, that I was not going to make any preconceived ideas about it at all. That was just my choice. I've been studying a lot of ancient archaeology kinds of things for a very long time, but I don't have an opinion on this material by choice, I think. I wanted to look at it with the eyes of what is it, not why is it yet.
Or could it be this? What? Right.
Yeah, exactly. My great drive now is to try to find ways to get a time map of the different sites. We have 270 sites, as you know, identified on our web that you mentioned at ancientcanalbuilders.com.
Well, describe for the audience, describe for the listeners how widespread. You talked about that number of sites, but how widespread? What kind of an area?
It starts at the southern end of Maine, goes all the way through the Atlantic coast to the tip of Florida, up the east coast of Florida, across Mississippi, all of Louisiana, and it's the greatest numbers or amounts of canals are in Louisiana and the Mississippi Delta, goes across through Texas, and we stopped by choice at the Texas-Mexican border and did not go further into Mexico in the research, because we wanted to focus, I personally wanted to focus on areas that any backyard homespun like me, amateur, could go out to these sites and see them for themselves. If they're a diver, they could go dive on them. If they had a boat and wanted to go out and do any kind of research, they were there. And so we chose to stop at the Mexican border, although I will tell you candidly that there are many in Mexico and on further down into the Yucatan just like these. But we've only focused on the 14 states along the Atlantic and Gulf Coast.
And how many of these places have you visited? Have you dived, taken a dive on any of them?
I have not. First, I have to tell you that I'm well past retirement, and I'm not doing any of the field work in terms of actually doing the diving. We've visited local areas in Florida, on the Atlantic side of Florida, because I live in the Orlando area. We haven't been able to get underwater on anything yet or get to physical sites because the primary research has been in just getting them identified and published on the internet to begin with. Now our effort is to start gathering the resources necessary to go do carbon dating and core drills. We want to do core drills from the canals and from the banks beside the canal for matching evidence. And that's what we talk about, a time map, meaning in every location that's relevant or we feel after preliminary research is a target for accurate time dating, we want to get that into a grid so that we can look at is the Florida canals the same dates, the same relative dates as the Louisiana canals? Are those the same as the ones in Long Island Sound? Are those the same as the different types of canals that are in southern New Jersey? So that's our main drive now, is to get on site and do core sample drills and carbon tests to determine accurate age.
So basically, so far, you're on Google Earth or whatever access to satellite photos you have. You search for areas where, that looks like an interesting pattern. And then you put it on the website and figure, once we get up and running, we'll go there and investigate it personally.
Pretty much, yes. I mean, we do a little more research than just looking at an area and seeing some patterns and say, that might be, you follow? I mean, we do...
Yeah.
Aerial photo. We research local aerial photographs if available, and a lot are that have been taken by various agencies and states and so on. We do all of that research. We make sure that we are looking at something that matches. That we'll do other aerial researches, the Landsat photos that are available on other locations besides Google Earth. Other types of imaging to make sure that we're looking at something that fits our criteria of a canal-based system that is either habitation or agriculture, or however they were using them.
I'm sure this has occurred to you. The canals on Mars. At one time, people looked up there and saw, aha, that looks like canals. The face on Mars. We see... We look. Human mind looks for patterns and something we recognize.
Sure.
Could it that be an explanation for some of these, that they look like canals, but they're perfectly natural formations or something of that sort?
Well, in doing the research that I have, everyone tells me that nature doesn't make straight parallel lines of any size. They do in diamonds and very small things, but. But nature has a tendency to make curvy lines for river deltas. They don't make absolutely straight parallel lines with each other. So in looking at them, it's fairly evident fairly quickly that the parallel, straight, absolutely, not absolutely is the wrong word, but regularly spaced within feet in comparison to in using the Google measurement tool. We're not live and on site, but with what we have, we can see that they're 130 to 140 foot distances or spans across between the canals is absolutely that amount for 2,000 feet. That's beyond the probability that nature would do that. It's relatively man-made. I mean, fairly easy to determine that precision. There's another question that comes up with that, and that is there a modern explanation for any of those things? And the answer is yes. We don't know all of them yet, and out of 270 locations, I'm certain that we're going to find more than a handful that will be explained as some modern process. For example, in Louisiana, there are many canals that have been dug for mineral exploration, oil, and so on. We know that. And some of them look very old and may not be. We want to go into the research now to determine that because oil companies have been given lease permits and drilling permits and dredging permits, and all of that is on record. So we can find out which of, if any of them are not within that framework, then where did they come from? Did the Corps of Engineers make them? Is that public record? If not, the ones that are left need to be explained, and those are the ones that we'll look at. So we're sure that we're going to find some that have modern explanations.
Well, I think that's a good healthy attitude to have, is you're not reaching any preordained conclusion to say all of them are ancient and they're some built by some mysterious civilization that disappeared.
No, it's not the intent at all. It's my absolute, I hope I've made it clear, the absolute intent is to get them measured in terms of carbon dating, first to find out when they were made, when they were used, and when they were abandoned or use ceased. It'll be instructive if we find out that in 100 sites that they were built at different times initially, but the use was ceased. I'm sorry, it's early in the morning.
I understand. Believe me.
Abandonment was at the exact same time or relative same time. That's instructive if that occurs. It'll tell us something about how they ceased using the canals. If it's not, if it's over a different period of time, then we have a moving or rolling culture over time. But only the dating will tell us that. Then and only then can we start making some assumptions about the purpose, the function, the nature of how they were built. The burning question is, how were they built? Some of them are so huge, bigger than any project we've ever done in that we know of in canal building in this country. Even the Erie Canal pales in comparison to some of the large cross-state dual-line canals in Louisiana. I mean, they're humongously large. That's kind of a strange word, I suppose. They're very large.
That area of Louisiana, now that's only, I think it's like 2,000 years old, isn't it? It's been formed by the Delta there and its tributaries, and so that kind of would be at odds with the idea that this is, some of these things are much older than that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert in any of that. I really don't know. I do know that there's the Chauvin, what we call the Chauvin dual canal, runs from Chauvin, Louisiana, across down below Golden Meadows. It turns and runs east toward Venice. There's places where it runs underwater for 7 or 8 miles, and then it'll rise, for example, on Grand Terre Island. That dual canal rises for about 600 yards, and then it goes back under the water again in a dead straight line. 8 miles later, it comes up again just west of Venice in the what we call the Great Venice Circle. So I don't know how old that delta area is. I mean, I don't know that information. But I do know that that's, however it is eroding and changing, this canal was there before the water table rose over that area that's 8 miles of covered now. So I can't answer that for you. I really don't know.
But in addition, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, but just talking about that Chauvin Canal for a minute,
sure.
It's a double-line canal. Each of the lanes is approximately 130-foot wide for a 260-foot-wide double-lane canal that runs something in excess of 80 miles. Part of it now underwater and inundated, part of it degraded, and part of it with newer canals built over it, but as a single project, it's enormous in terms of the amount of soil that was removed in the to make a 230-foot channel 80 miles long. It's incomprehensible as a project that if it is pre-colonial or pre-Columbian, it's incomprehensible that that this was done with deerhorn antlers as scooping tools, or as one anthropologist told me that he thought it was done, and woven baskets to carry it away. It's an enormous project. So the core drills, I don't know what they'll tell us.
Have you?
I do know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you if you've seen any indications that the big dirt piles anywhere in relation to any of these canals, that somebody dumped the dirt and made a mound out of it or a mountain or something.
That's another amazing part of this, is that in that project alone, when you talk about the tonnage or the yardage of residue that's pulled out of the canals, it dwarfs projects like the pyramids or any other huge project. That the tonnage is enormous. The one that I have facts on is in the Tuckahoe River complex in New Jersey. There's an area that still shows, it's just west of Ocean City, and it's about 26 square miles in the river delta there that's still visible as a single complex unit, you know, and it's filled with canals. If We've been over it for quite some time and measured the canals and their lengths and their widths and so on, there is just under 5.5 million cubic yards.
Wow. John Jensen of AncientCanalBuilders.com, hold that thought. We'll resume our conversation, ask you about some other structures that you think you've seen, and we'll speculate about who these ancient people might have been. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. If you want to see some of these structures for yourself and the photographs that John Jensen is talking about, you can go to the Coast website that we have links there, or you can go directly to AncientCanalBuilders.com. John, have you shared your findings with professional archaeologists, university professors, well, folks like that?
I've tried. In the last 4 or 5 months, as we've gotten the site prepared for publication, putting it out live on the internet, I've contacted quite an array of professionals in both archaeology and anthropology, some in geology, sending them site data and asking for their input, and I've been amazed at the deafening wall of silence. That's all I can tell you. No one has formally responded to me in any manner whatsoever. No emails, no letters, no phone calls. It's just deafening silence. So
that's odd. You know, it's odd because we're not talking about aliens or something here. This looks like something kind of old. You would think that a professor somewhere would at least want to shoot holes in whatever theory you have.
When I said I didn't get any response, I have to apologize. I did get one response from a graduate student or an undergraduate student for a faculty member that made a response about some of the canals and the questions that I'd ask of the canals in Louisiana. And that was just basically to say that as far as they were concerned, 100% of them were attributable to oil exploration and so on. And that was that was the only response I got. I shouldn't have said I got none. I did get that one.
Well, that would be a pretty big oil project, wouldn't it? Some of these things that you're talking about.
Yeah, and when some of them have cypress trees growing in the middle of the canal that appear to be quite large, it's going to be a little difficult to explain a tree that could be anything from 200 to 400 years old growing in the middle of a canal that is supposedly 40 or 50 years old. So there's all those problems that we're going to have to deal with those kinds of explanations. But to answer your question, I haven't had a dialogue with professionals around the canals. I have had some responses from agronomists and agriculture experts that talk about what the canals might be in terms of being that close to brack water or saline water from the ocean, what might be growing there if they were in fact irrigation canals, and those folks seem to be happy to talk to me.
Meaning that they could have been something to cart away or take brackish or salty water away from fields that are being cultivated, something like that?
No, that they were using the brack water as a cultivation media. Ah. That in China they've been growing a particular brand of rice in ancient times on seawater estuaries like this. And it's known that it has been done. We don't know how to do it, meaning worldwide. From what I understand, I'm not speaking for those professionals. Maybe they do know how to do it, but my understanding is we're not, as a society, Western civilization does not really know how to do it today, although it was done in the past, because we can find those ancient canals just like these in China that are very old.
I think it's very healthy that you would say something, for example, that you have a responsibility to correct any factual errors. If you get some information that these things could be of modern construction, you'll take it off the website. That's a healthy sort of an attitude. You're asking people to send you information to give you their input so you can figure this out.
Absolutely. And I already, George, I've already taken off 6 sites that information was sent to me that said this is an explanation, a modern explanation for that, and it was credible. And I said, yep, that makes sense to me. I'll take that site off, and I'll give you the exact example. In Texas, there's a place called Pita Island that is south of what they call the Longview Bridge in Corpus Christi. And there were some cross bay channels that you could see underwater, and I had them identified as a potential target. And a geologist from somewhere in Texas, I'm not sure where, sent me an email and said, look, we can produce the actual permits that let us lay pipeline across the bottom of the bay at that particular location, and that's all you're looking at is the disturbance of laying pipeline across that bay. And they sent me an email copy of the permit to build that, and I went, good enough for me, and made a note and a copy and took that particular site down. I have no problem with those that are going to be proven to be modern, because some are. It's just not possible that I can go out and in a year's worth of research, identify 270 sites and have them all of a particular venue. I mean, we thought we were careful, but we're going to find that some are modern, no problem.
In addition to what look like canals, you've seen a couple of other structures, including some that kind of look like streets, right? City streets?
Yes. There's actually four different, five depending on how you want to define them, different styles. The we've talked to some length here of the irrigation canals, the ones that are cut off of river estuaries where the flow is from the fresh water into what appears to be into the canals. Those are, we think, irrigation. We don't know that. I mean, we haven't done the field research to show it, but it appears that that's what it would be. There's another style that we talked a little bit about the longer channels and canals. Those are, we think, transportation or some, 100-mile canal isn't there so that we can get across town. I mean, it's long-distance transportation, we think. I mean, that's a reasonable thing to call it. It may not end up being that, but that's what we think those are. Another style is what you alluded to, and that is those canals that have what absolutely appear to me and look like streets and driveways. So that's what we call them. We call them habitation areas. They don't look like agriculture. They look like habitation areas. There's one to look at on our site is Stockton, Maryland. And it doesn't take but about 10 minutes looking at it, and you say, I'm looking at some kind of military barracks, because there's a rectangle around the outside close to the sea that looks like could have been a wall or some kind of protection. Inside of it, it's very lightly what might be building areas or whatever, and all the way around the outside of it, it's very heavily marked with the channels and the what might be streets and driveways kinds of things. It's very clear. It's one of the clearest ones that we have to be able to really ascertain what's going on from a building standpoint around it. Now, there is no physical structures left. It's only the markings in the ground that are left. But it's fairly obvious. And then just lower to the left of it, lower to the right, is a small island that has a causeway. I'm sorry, wrong word. It has a small canal cut through it, between it and the mainland, to make it a man-made island. And it looks like a last retreat kind of safety place. And the whole complex looks military to me. And I'm making a guess. I'm just, a non-professional guessing at it, but that's what it really looks like. So that's what we've done with a lot of these sites, is say, well, this one looks like it's where people lived. This one looks like it's off river estuaries. We think it's irrigation and so on. There's one other style that's of major importance to talk about, and that's our symbols.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. We might as well jump into it now, because I tell you, you know, we are trained to look, our brains look for symbols and make sense out of things, but gosh, these look like gigantic hieroglyphics of some sort.
Well, the longer I've studied them, and I've been in those, I'd say 6-7 months now, and looking at them in detail and getting every piece of data that I can about them, and they're so amazing that right now it takes my breath away when I look at them. I can't even imagine what I'm really looking at in total, because that's what they look like. They look like symbols. There are some things unique about them that I'll tell you. One is, I'm pretty sure they're not actual meaningful writing, because they don't repeat.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, do you see the same ones over and over anywhere?
No. They're a small canal with water in them that's in many ways just small circles hooked together, or straight lines and circles hooked together. They come close to repeating, but they don't repeat in any kind of precise way. You follow? But
yes.
They certainly look like symbols. I mean, when you first look at them, the things that are astounding about them, and this is not the strongest word I could use, but it's the strongest one I can think of to say astounding, is that some of these are quite large. There are thousands of them in one area by themselves. They're not connected to any other waterway, yet they have water in them. Now, if you think about how did the builders create these so that they did not silt over or grow over with other vegetation to hide themselves, some have. I mean, not all of them are clear yet showing the water canal around them, but even though some are silted in and overgrown, there are many more that look pristine, almost like they were built yesterday. And that's an amazing process when you look at it. How did they do that? What did they use to maintain its structure over all this time?
Can some of these be, like, for example, a man-made lake that there's a housing development around it? I mean, can you tell or not? Are these,
in a primitive way, yes, it's like that, but that isn't what it is. I mean, it's not modern construction, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no roads to it. There's no ancient old roads to it, not one. There's, except where Google Earth has added some just to, they've drawn them in, and then when you zoom up close, there's no road there. I mean, they've done a couple of those, but... That's a whole other story that I won't get into particularly, but no, there is no modern like development in particularly in the symbol areas, with one or two exceptions where modern development has taken over an area and just used it, where some of the symbols are still in the underlying brush right beside the modern development. Other than that, The major areas of the symbols have no roads up to them. They're just whatever they are. I mean, the speculation by professionals that I'm talking to is anywhere from being seafood farming processes. My question would be, if they're not connected to moving water, how viable is that? I don't know.
How do you keep water in them for so long? You know, how do you keep water in them this long?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, we've got to get there, and the symbols are the ones that are the most important, because they're the most non-Western civilization style. I mean, they're the most distinct of non-modern of anything that we have. You can explain straight line canals as maybe modern because they were draining the swamp, or whatever arguments you're going to use that to say that, well, those are modern. but the symbols are absolutely different. They're not going to fit any mold of those kinds of arguments, and that's why they're so important for us to get dating on them. And but questions like you ask, absolutely.
Yeah,
how do
I mean,
maintain that. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I were to go do the on-the-ground investigation, I was getting my four-wheel drive, that'd be the place I'd start, is checking out some of those symbols and see what they look like on the ground.
Absolutely. Because they run for miles. I mean, we've got 40 miles mapped out in from Ocean City North up past Barnegat Bay. There's 40 miles of major areas with thousands upon thousands of these symbols. They're certainly not hoaxes or anything like that, because there's literally hundreds of square miles, not hundreds, but there are in the range of 100 square miles of them, which is very, very large.
And how close are people to these things? How close do people live to them?
40 foot.
Oh, they're all around. People are.
Let me put it this way. In the Eastern Seaboard and the Atlantic Seaboard, anything that's on the Intercoastal Waterway or the ocean is the most expensive land in the world, outside of maybe Tokyo. I mean, Long Island, for an example. Long Island is the most expensive real estate in the world, from what real estate people have told me. Now, I'm not in that business, so I don't know. But if there's one square inch of that land that's usable, trust me, it's used. It's being sold to someone to use it for something. So all of the areas that we show in Long Island Sound are either too marshy or too swampy to have any commercial value, real estate value. There are islands that are within 300 yards of the end of John F. Kennedy runway that have these canals on them, within 300 yards. They've never been noticed before. People have flown over them since we've been flying. Nobody looked down and said, that's strange. There's straight lines all the way across that island.
Well, you know, John, that it would be easy to scoff at this and dismiss it with a wave of a hand, as I'm sure some academics have done to you. But, heck, there are discoveries about ancient stuff all the time. This Bosnian pyramid, there are still pyramids in Central America that are being discovered out in the jungle. So this is not something that's just completely unacceptable for science to even think about.
Well, the joy in my heart is that the stuff is there. It's for anyone to go look at. It's not owned by me or you or the academicians or professionals or anyone else. It's there. It's part of the landscape. My whole issue is I hope that many people will take control of that type of data and information, and collectively many people go own it in terms of the research and the core drilling and all of the processes, photography, all the things that we got to do. Certainly I'm going to do a book on it or produce information about it or get it out and get the engine started, as it were. But the joy is that it's physical stuff that's there, and it's indisputable in terms of it. It's not something hidden that we got to look under a blanket to all peer at and hum and go away. I mean, it's right out there in the swamps and the marshes, and
yep,
anyone can go look at it.
Well, we've got a couple of million people in the coast-to-coast army that might be interested in doing a little legwork, and I'm sure that they'd be interested in sharing their findings with you. We'll get into that, and we'll do some speculation about who these ancient people may have been, if in fact these things were built by ancient people. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be opening up the phone lines in just a couple of minutes with your questions for my guest, John Jensen. John Jensen, I don't want to box you into any kind of position, because I know you don't have enough information to make a conclusion, but have you thought about if these structures really are man-made, who these people may have been, where they went? I'm just wondering if there's anything comparable around the world that you can point to and say, aha, the Chinese built this or the Egyptians built that, and that's very similar to what this was.
You're
reluctant to say.
Yeah. Yeah, you're reluctant to make any any kind of real opinions and put them out there because they're just lay opinions. I don't know enough about what else is out there to compare them to. I see structures that here that required serious both mechanical and civil engineering to get them done, to get the projects done. It's a personal opinion, but I don't think they were done with Aboriginal or Native style tools that we know of, antler horns, reed baskets, those kinds of things. The projects are just too big. That doesn't mean they weren't done that way. It just is my instinct that they weren't.
So but the people that we know that there are tribes, Native American tribes and peoples, nations that lived here pre-Columbian times, but it doesn't look like anything we know of that they dug or built.
It doesn't look like anything that they've done or built, no. To answer your question, I don't see anything in that we know of that I could relate it to and say it's like this. It's like totally different manufacturing and or not manufacturing, but mechanical engineering to get it done than say the pyramids in Central America, but it's on that kind of massive scale.
Okay.
It's different. It's aquatic, but it's massive. It required I think from my own opinion is more massive than any of those. But that's just, again, a lay opinion. As clear an answer as I can make is I really don't have a good idea of who they might be because I can't put them in time yet that says we know they're 3,000 years old, we know they're 3,500 years old, or they're 10,000 years old, or they're just pre-Columbian. And it could be any of those. My raw instincts are that my postulate of dates that they're between, some of them are 3,500 years old or 3,100 to 3,500 years old, based on the water table raise that is evident covering much of it. But that, again, that's an estimate. But until we nail it down exactly with carbon dating, it's real tough to assign who and how to it. Because if they are pre-Columbian and just, say, within the last 700-800 years, that's a totally different who and how than if they're 3,000 years old or 10,000 years old. You follow?
Either one is interesting, though, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to say, even speculate who it might be, because that opens you up for attack if you were to even suggest something.
Well, and I'm not qualified to do it. I mean, and I know that. I'm a industrial engineer type that I wrote training startup manuals for most of my career. I was very good at it. But that's my expertise. If you want to know how a paper machine runs, I can tell you in minute detail. But
maybe we'll save that for another program.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But hey, we're going to open up the phone lines.
Okay.
All right, John, we're going to open up the phone lines. I appreciate hang on here. Wildcard line, Francis in Los Angeles. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Mr. Jensen.
Good morning.
I'm from Florida, and I had belonged to the Florida Archaeological Society from way back when. And I noticed on your website, among other things, you have Oldsmar and Safety Harbor listed. Is there anything in particular about that area?
I'm sorry, I didn't get it really clear. Say the area again, please.
Safety Harbor. Right.
I apologize, but I'm not, I put the site up, but it's not one that I'm familiar with to discuss here without going back and looking at some specifics. I couldn't tell you other than it has some canal-looking appearances, I would assume. I'm not familiar with all of them. Once we took a look at a site and said, let's, you know, that meets our first test, I'm not familiar with all of them. I apologize.
Francis, basically, he's put them up there, but he hasn't memorized everything. What can you tell us about that area?
Well, It had been a very large Indian settlement since way back, and Count Odette Philippi had settled in there in the early 1800s. There is a brick roadway, it's now underwater, and the old well is underwater, which would be out in the Tampa Bay area. But the place just reeks in history. And I do know that all along the Gulf Coast, as I was flying from St. Petersburg up to Crystal River, there were looked like roadways going right out into the Gulf of Mexico. And I says, what in heaven's name are those doing there? And it's straight as an arrow, comes from dry land right out into the Gulf. Quite large. And down in Florida Bay, there's a canal down there that was there when the first Spaniards arrived. And when they were able to communicate with the Indian settlement down there, the Indians referred to it as the Ancient Ones built it. And it is a long canal with seawalls and everything else. There was another area that they had found in St. Petersburg, of very ancient buildings. No one knows who put them there. And that was all torn down. That was on the Tampa Bay side, down in the area called the post office, the old post office area. Another place over on Anna Maria Island, south part of Anna Maria Island. Ancient buildings down there that's mostly out in the water, but there was remnants of one still on shore. Nobody knows who put those there. Very old.
Well, Francis, that's you were true. Involved with the Archaeological Society, then you would be sort of interested in getting an answer to some of this stuff.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that background, because it's much more than we knew about that area. I really appreciate it.
John, what would you like to tell our listeners who might have information, bits and pieces, how they can best communicate? Just go to the website?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got an email response page that you can email us in and start there. We've got a blog site that you can ask questions on and send information on. And I've got my own personal Facebook page listed on every page of the website so that you can contact me personally if you're interested or have data and information that might help us. Or if you'd like to help in any way, we're trying to put together a foundation that will go out and do the research to start getting this time map that we talk about and sites like Francis just mentioned and get all of that data and help in. And so if anyone has any, just go to the website and any of the pages, either link up on my Facebook or, send us an email. And we'll go from there. We'd be happy to work with anyone that has any information that can help.
Okay. Francis, thanks for the interesting call. Wildcard Margie in Southern Utah. Hi, Margie.
Hi. I'm looking at a book in a catalog that really ties in with your work. I guess this would be off of Canada, Cape Breton Island. Do either of you know where that is?
I don't.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, this man that wrote this book has come to a similar conclusion, or he thinks that they're Chinese, ancient Chinese, or pre-Columbian Chinese anyway. And the title of the book is The Island of Seven Cities, Where the Chinese Settled When They Discovered America.
Well, huh.
So it seems like it ties in with your studies.
Yeah, that's worth writing down there, John.
Absolutely. There are many ideas of one of the things I like about that is that we know that the Chinese had rice growing capabilities on their coasts in ancient canals like this. So it isn't that far afield to think that might have some validity, and that we'll certainly look into it.
Okay, Island of the Seven Cities. Thanks, Margie. Appreciate it. Farlan in Oklahoma. Good morning, Farlan.
Hey, thanks. Hi, John. It's Farlan.
Hey, Farlan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was looking in the area there in Oklahoma, and I was noticing some terraces. I might be getting into an area where maybe these are terraces that were put in place post-Dust Bowl era by the WPA or Corps of Engineers.
Let me interrupt you. Is this Farland Huff?
Yes.
Well, this is John Jensen. We know each other through email. Farland, by the way, George, is the one that discovered the canals that we show on the Oklahoma portion of our website. And Farland sent those in to me a couple of months ago. So this is the first time I've got to talk to him. So hi, Farland.
Hey.
And so, Farland, you think some of these things might have been built by the WPA?
Oh, no, sir. I'm thinking that I'm noticing some terraces, and I'm trying to figure out if these terraces are old and coincide with the irrigation canals. Maybe the terraces were put in place by the same people that built the canals. Or, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I don't get into an area where the Corps of Engineers came in. But I was wondering if John had noticed anything like that with any of the other irrigation canals, something that might look like terraces that were used for growing rice. Or
the ones I've seen, the ones in my looking at the area out there when I was looking at the long canals around Maud, that there's terrace canals around what appear to be, and I don't want to use the name man-made, but embankment type lakes that I would call man-made, but around them are the terraced systems, and they look very much like the Altiplano terraces in Bolivia. Same general style. They're not as high. The land there in Oklahoma isn't as high as the mountain ranges in Bolivia, but they have that look. They follow the land, the terrain, like they do in South America. And that's why when I looked at them, I thought those are part of the same culture that did the ones in South America, because they have the very same look. They're terracing the land to irrigate it. That's what it looks like to me. To answer your question, is there any information that the Corps of Engineers or any of the other Department of Agriculture or any of the agencies that might have terraced it? I don't know that. I wouldn't be able to address it, but my instinct is that probably you won't be able to find any substantiation or documentation for that, simply because it's not the type or style of irrigation that we do or have done at all in American farming, I wouldn't think. Although, again, I'm not an expert at that. So my instinct is no, they're probably not modern from that standpoint.
Well, as soon as I can get into those areas, I'm going to see if I can tell if the road cut through the terraces or if the terraces were built to the edge of the road. And I'll get back to you as quick as I can. All right, well, thanks a lot.
One other thing, let me ask you another question. When you're doing that, what I was able to see looked like the terraces jumped a different section boundaries where farmers had the section boundaries, that the terraces continued on the ground over to the next farmer's land. That's what they appeared, and that's I'd like you to check that if you could.
Yes, that's exactly what I was noticing. So that's what I'll do, as I can get there.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Farland. Good. Appreciate the call. That's what you need there, John, is boots on the ground. We're going to go to Patrick, who is calling us. Yeah, Patrick is calling us from a tugboat on the Hudson River. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Great.
Hey. So good to talk to y'all. I just come off a monster dredge job for British Petroleum down in Venice, down in the South Mississippi River, down around Venice. And and I was paying particular attention to the canal system y'all were talking about. And I will favor there that it was majority of it was designed for the mineral exploration and the farming. I mean, I grew up down there in Gulfport, Mississippi, and then I've done plenty of my tours down in the, I've been working in the Gulf my whole life. And, but this sandbar they're building around the state of Louisiana will go undocumented. In another 20 years, you won't even know who built the darn thing unless you went back through the financial records of British Petroleum. I mean, in this sandbar, I mean, they're literally filling up 6,000-yard scows in 1 hour. I mean, that's a lot of material. But I was understanding what you were saying. But dredging's been going on for hundreds of years, And with all the hurricanes and tropical storms and changes in government, most of these dredging projects in the mineral industry, well, almost all of them never go documented. So it'd be very easy to see how you can't, it's hard to find out who dug these canals.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
John.
But they are significantly large.
Yeah. I understand that, and I would, you know, I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. It's an explanation. I think that if you looked at the website and saw some of the, I'd recommend one thing to go look at, and that's Terrebonne Island in over kind of on the west side of the Gulf.
I did, and I mean it's a great website you got posted there. I just wanted to make clear. I mean, I've worked Louisiana from the Mississippi border all the way to West Louisiana, and the amount of canals from like Freshwater City, Cameron, I mean, in anywhere, it is astonishing the amount of canals that have been dug either by private owners or by farmers or by mineral exploration, and they just abandon. They dig them. They don't even dig them right. I mean, anybody can make a straight line if you've got the right tools. You know, that's been going on since the Egyptian days. Y'all know that. I mean, I listen coast to coast every night. I just want I believe y'all, that there are, some unexplained explanations. But when it comes to Louisiana, that is a very undocumented state.
So you've never seen, Patrick, you've never seen anything you would say looks really old or that couldn't be explained by modern dredging techniques?
Once a hurricane hits something, George, and the effects of erosion takes over, the sides fall in, things get shallower than they were, things change up, but they still retain the original, most of the original shape from what I've, just through my experience. Now, I am not a trained scientist. I just, when it comes to Louisiana, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff down there. Flown over in helicopters, coming back and forth from the oil rigs. It is amazing what you'll see.
Excellent call, Patrick. Appreciate the information. In fact, you're not alone on that. There's three of us non-scientists talking about this stuff, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to speculate. We'll be back with more of your questions for John Jensen, creator of AncientCanalBuilders.com, right after these messages on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll open the phone lines up in just a second. I want to ask you something, though, before we run out of time. We posted a link to your website a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I guess it's been 2 months or so ago. And you got a lot of reaction from basically what you told me in an email. Some of it just kind of off the wall, right? People who want to figure out a way to exploit what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you're in the business of talking to lots of these different kind of agendas of folks have, not agendas, but theories, I would guess. And there's been representatives from each of those different theory camps, or whatever you want to call it, Atlantis, Lemuria, sinking, the changing world, various different folks, more from the Atlantis group than any other, that want me to present the material in their framework. It's not said that way, but generally that's the feel I got. And I've kind of resisted that on the basis that it isn't fair for me to step into any of the arenas. There are folks from the religious community that have asked me to help them prove the flood, for an example. And it's just outside my venue of expertise. I've ended up not doing any of those. But yeah, to answer your question, I've been approached.
Well, good. You don't want to lock yourself into anything. It just opens you up to more trouble.
Well, it's that I don't have the expertise to even make the general statements. I really don't. And I'm just trying to expose this to the world and say, look what I found. What do you think it is?
Exactly.
As much as anything.
Okay. East of the Rockies, Sam in New York. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. just had a, well, you covered some of it before about the, about, you know, whether it was, you know, dating back to China and stuff like that. I was just wondering, could it be a part of, like, when there was a supercontinent that there was, say, like the Chinese that might have built these, and then when the continent split, you know, it could have been something along those lines, depending on the carbon dating, if, you know, if there was any information you can get like that.
Well, could it date back to Pangaea?
Here's my basic take on what we're looking at, the canals that we've posted, is that they're probably not of that kind of age, simply because earth changes are going to erase canals like that. The gentleman that was on earlier about Louisiana says they change in weeks or months down there. I would think that these may not survive two or three levels of events that may be earth-changing and so on. I wouldn't think they'd last that long because they're shallow canals. They're not shallow in the sense of the earth's crust. I mean, they're, you know, 20, 30 foot deep is still shallow. It's just my instinct that they wouldn't be much beyond the Holocene start, 10,000, 11,000 years ago. That's just my instinct. I have no technical or professional basis to make that statement other than just my own personal opinion.
Okay. But, thanks, Sam.
But
go ahead.
I'm sorry. But could the Chinese have come over here several thousand years ago in expeditions and built up? Sure they could. I don't know that they did or didn't, but could they? Sure.
Thank you, Sam. West of the Rockies, John in Seattle. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
I kind of feel that this may substantiate the OWASPE Bible that gives a history from 30,000 years before the flood up into the future. And during the age of, 1500 to 4000 BC, it talks about the canals that were made in what would be the Western or United States, and that they were basically for the transportation of goods. This OWASPE is written from Spirit's point of view, and it says that they taught man how to make it sounds like concrete, mixing of clay and sand and whatnot. Anyway, I just thought you might like to know that there is something of this nature in black and white.
I don't know what this...
I really appreciate that.
Okay, I'm not quite sure. It sounded like both of you were talking at the same time.
Well, let me talk for a second here. What is this thing called, this Bible you're talking about?
OWASPE. That's OAHSPE.
Oh, okay.
It was written by a man through automatic handwriting in 1880s.
Hey, well, that's worth checking out.
Yeah, exactly.
John, thank you for bringing that to our attention. You're going to have to take a look at that, Mr. Jensen. First-time caller, Steve in Chicago. Hi, Steve. We're going to Gary in Reno on the first-time caller line.
Hey.
Hey, Gary.
What's going on, man? Long-time caller. Long-time listener, sorry. I'm a little tired out here. My opinion is, what's your take on, over the years, you know, imagine that those canals and stuff, imagine... if they were our old civilizations besides the natives, because we've all been here for quite a while. This earth is very old, and those canals might, and all the roads you're talking about, but imagine that, what's your take on if it was a ancient civilization that we forgot about?
Well, I appreciate the question, but again, I'm going to fall back to the same answer. It's really outside my venue of this work, and this work I tend to believe is newer than, say, 10 to 12,000 years at the very earliest, and probably closer to 3,500 years ago, and it's within that range or newer. I would suspect, because of the raising the water table over it that dates it to those kinds of dates. So it doesn't appear to me to be able to give any evidence that I can say it's older than the Ice Age, for an example, or previous civilizations, or any of that. It doesn't appear to be in that venue at all, and so I tend to not speculate about those things relating to this. In another conversation, another time we might have about what I think about ancient civilizations, that's different than this subject. And I'm trying to not be rude, and please don't take it that way. I'm just saying, from what I gather, this is within those time frames.
Okay, thanks for the call, Gary. Jim in Shiloh, Illinois, on the Wild Card line. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, thanks a lot, George. John, pleasure. I understand that you don't want to go in those directions, so let me just give you things that are of question that I am not trying to point out are from a guaranteed another civilization. Just your opinion. There's in Peru these things called the roaming holes, and it's kind of a band of holes that are very symmetrical that go all over the land, and like your canals, they look artificially placed. Have you heard about those?
I don't. Not in the way that you've described it, no.
Okay. How about just the...
If you're talking about the tunnels, the square tunnels, if that's what you're referring to, I've heard of those.
No, these are just holes. They're very symmetrical. It looks like somebody came along with and just poked holes in a very symmetrical line along the mountains in Peru, and there's absolutely no normal explanation for them because they look artificially placed, and the holes each are about like 10 feet deep and 7 feet wide or 8 feet wide, and they're all very symmetrical, but they've survived years, and they appear to be very old. Now, here's another one. Peru has a bunch of canals. They try to say were irrigation canals. Have you heard about those?
Yes, I have. I mentioned them earlier in the show. The on the Peruvian border at Tiwanaku, above Tiwanaku, it's actually Bolivia. That's the Bolivian-Peruvian border. There's a lot of a very, very large number of irrigation systems that are built in the mountains there. Yes, I'm familiar with those.
And Jim?
They seem to be kind of a little old and very remarkably hard to do, that the ones that you're talking about in the Bolivian and Peru borders are even more so.
Yeah, again, not to be rude, but I tend to not focus and get information around those much in comparison, because I'm focusing on the ones here in America. So I don't have much expertise. I'm familiar that they're there, but that's okay. About the extent of my experience with them.
So, John, you're not sure if they're the same kind of size or same kind of shape and construction and all that stuff?
They're a different type of construction. That much I can tell you, because they're on mountain sides and they're terraces. They're terrace canals versus a single level. Here we're dealing with canals that are straight line in at water level. They're not on terraces. Now the canals that the earlier caller Farland was discussing in Oklahoma are in fact terraced, and those are like the Bolivian ones. The Bolivian ones, the ones that I'm familiar with, are very large, very terraced, very different than the ones that we're looking at, but very large systems, indicating an extremely large population base. That's about what I know about them.
Okay, Jim, thanks for the call. We're going to Steve in Albany, New York. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hey, good evening. Nice talking to you again. Hey, I came up with two ideas. I'm going to try to make them as quick as possible. I've seen a few shows on what might be civilizations before the Ice Age. They're around the last Ice Age. And there may be the continental shelves may have been higher, and there may have been major cities that to connect these things. Instead of using, like, canals that are water-filled, imagine using, like, wooden cars, like, built like, you know, like Conestoga wagons or such, with wooden wheels that would fit inside there with maybe wheels on the outside for navigation so that you won't have to steer it. It'd just go automatically with wind sails. They would just blow and carry goods from one place to another.
Well, being an old sailor, I can tell you that sailing up the inland coast, the intercoastal waterway, is a very difficult task. Trust me.
No, not with water.
It's almost impossible.
No, not with water. With wheels.
Meaning that these were highways more than canals.
Yeah, you wouldn't, you know, with wind, you wouldn't need motors. And if you put wheels on the side, like to bumper, they would steer right down these pathways, you know, and they'd go from one place to another without you wouldn't have to, you know, like cruise control without having to do very much for work.
I wouldn't know how to respond to that. I wouldn't know. I mean, it would take some analysis that I couldn't do here off the top of my head, so I really couldn't respond to it.
Okay, Steve, you had another theory? Steve? Okay, I'm not sure. Steve had said that he had a couple of ideas he wanted to run by us. I'm not sure if he's still around. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Robert in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, George and John. Oh, the Great Dismal Swamp. That's Lake Drummond. And my question is, you know, George Washington did a lot of surveying and whatnot, but do you think a lot of the pathways they take because of least resistance, in other words, there's a lot of pathways already made, and they go back into them over and over again because it can be, you know, in thousands of years. My question is, do you think that's a viable scenario?
I wouldn't know how to respond to it other than saying, the canals that we look at and identify are hydroponically designed, connected to waterways to flow water up into them. In other words, they're wider at the mouth where they're connected to flowing water than they are at the tip where they end. That is hydraulic. You follow? And to be designed so that they are in fact functioning hydraulically means that they were designed to do that, or at least that appears that way to me. They don't appear to be just used trails or anything like that. These are cut into the landscape as waterways. Most of them are between 3 to 5 foot wide at the, sometimes as much as 6 foot wide at the water inlet, at the what we call arterial canals, the main canals that they feed off of, and they're as high as 2,000 foot long, narrowing down to about a foot at the peak. They appear to be very precisely engineered, so I wouldn't suggest that they had more. Although that isn't, you know, that isn't outside the realm of possibility. Anything is possible with these. Where did they come from? How they were built? Because we just don't know yet. So, I had someone in New York tell me they were absolutely made to drain the swamp and the swampy areas. And on the surface, that's a great idea, but under engineering study, it loses some credibility in that the mechanics of moving that many tons of alluvial soil just so that you could drain more water is seems to be not economically possible or feasible. And the colonials or whoever might have done that have the same economic pressures that we have today. Every dollar you spend has to have a value. So moving tons of soil just to be able to drain things economically didn't make sense when free land a mile away was high and dry. So we couldn't do I don't recognize that as a great possibility, but we can't argue that it wasn't so. Anything is really still on the table until we get out doing field research. I apologize if I'm rambling.
But. No, that's good. I appreciate the call, Robert. I appreciate all those calls. John, I got a feeling you're going to get a lot of reaction from our Coast to Coast listeners. I hope you'll check back in with us and let us know how it goes and what kind of new leads you get. And thank you for being on the program.
Thank you very much for having me. And thanks to guests for their questions so far.
All right. Good night. And Bud Hopkins, thanks to him as well. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I want to thank the folks at Premier, Jason and Gina and Tim, and hope you all have a good one, and I'll see you in a few. Good night, everyone.